It's like, I shrug, trying to figure out a pitch. He's derived the Turing-Lovecraft theorem from first principles. Not many people can do that. So he's bright, that's a given. I think he's still a pure theory geek, hasn't made any kind of connection with the implications of being able to specify correct geometric relations between power nodes. Maybe still thinks it's all a big joke. No references to D or the others, apart from a couple of minor arcana on his bookshelf. This means he isn't directly dangerous, and we can offer him the opportunity to learn and develop his skills and interests in a new and challenging field, just as long as he's willing to come on the inside, which would get him covered by Section 3 at that point. Section 3 of the Official Secrets Act, 1916, is our principal weapon in the endless war against security leaks. It was passed during a wartime spy scare, a time of deep and extreme paranoia, and it's even more bizarre than most people think. As far as the public knows, the Official Secrets Act only has two sections. That's because Section 3 is itself classified secret under the terms of the preceding sections, and merely knowing about Section 3's existence without having formally signed it is a criminal offense. Section 3 has all kinds of juicy hidden provisions to make life easy for spooks like us. It's a bureaucratic cloaking field. Anything at all can go on behind the shroud of Section 3, as if it simply hasn't happened. In American terms, it's a black operation. "If you section him, we have to come up with a job and a budget," Harriet accuses.
"Yes, but I'm sure he'll be useful,"
Andy waves languidly.
"Boris, would you mind asking around your section, see if anyone needs a mathematician or cryptographer or something? I'll write this up and point it at the board. Harriet, if you can add it to the minutes. Bob, I'd like a word with you after the meeting about timekeeping."
Oh, shit, I think.
"Anything else?" "No. Meeting over, folks."
Once we're alone in the conference room, Andy shakes his head.
"That wasn't very clever, Bob, winding Harriet up like that."
"I know," I shrug. "It's just that every time I see her, I get this urge to drop salt on her back."
"Yes, but she's technically your line manager, and I'm not, which means you are supposed to phone in if you're going to be late on a day when you've got a kick-off meeting, or else she will raise 7 shades of low-key shit. And, as she will be in the right, appeals to matrix management and conflict resolution won't save you. She'll make your annual performance appraisal look like it's the Cultural Revolution, and you just declared yourself the reincarnation of Heinrich Himmler. Am I making myself clear?"
I sit down again.
"Yes, 4 very bureaucratic values of clear."
He nods.
"I sympathize, Bob, I really do. But Harriet's under a lot of pressure. She's got a lot of projects on her plate, and the last thing she needs is to be kept waiting 2 hours because you couldn't be bothered to leave a message on her voicemail last night."
Putting it that way, I begin to feel like a shit, even though I can see how I'm being manipulated.
"Okay, I'll try harder in future."
His face brightens.
"That's what I wanted to hear."
"Uh-huh. Now, I've got a sick Beowulf cluster to resurrect before Friday's batch PGP clusterfuck kicks off, and then a tarot permutator to calibrate, and a security audit for another of those bloody collecting card games in case a bunch of stoned artists in Austin, Texas have somehow accidentally produced a great node. Is there anything else?"
"Probably not," he murmurs, standing. "But how did you like the opportunity to get out and about a bit?"
"It was wet." I stand up and stretch. "Apart from that, well, it made a change. But I might get serious about that overtime claim if it happens too regularly. I wasn't kidding about the frogs."
"Well, maybe it will and maybe it won't."
He pats me on the shoulder.
"You did all right last night, Bob. And I understand your problem with Harriet. It just so happens that there's a place on a training course open next week. It'll get you out from under her feet, and I think you'll enjoy it."
"A training course?" I look at him. "What in? Windows NT System Administration?" He shakes his head.
"Computational demonology for dummies."
"But I already did."
"I don't expect you to learn anything in the course, Bob. It's the other participants I want you to keep an eye on."
"The others?" He smiles mirthlessly.
"You said you wanted an active service job."
We are not alone. The truth is out there. Yada, yada, yada. That kind of pop culture paranoia is mostly bunk. Except there's a worm of truth at the heart of every fictional apple, and while there may be no aliens in the freezer room at Roswell AFB, the world is still full of spooks who will come through your window and trash your hard disk if you discover the wrong mathematical theorem. Or worse, but that's another kind of problem, one the co-workers in field ops get to handle. For the most part, the universe really does work the way most of the guys with PhDs after their names think it works. Molecules are made out of atoms, which are made out of electrons, neutrons, and protons, of which the latter two are made out of quarks, and quarks are made out of leptoquarks, and so on. It's turtles all the way down, so to speak. And you can't find the longest common prime factors of a number with many digits in it without either spending several times the life of the entire universe or using a quantum computer, which is cheating. And there really are no signals from sentient organisms locked up in tape racks at Arecibo, and there really are no flying saucers in storage at Area 51. Apart from the USAF Super Black research projects, which don't count because they run on aviation fuel. But that isn't the full story. I've suffered for what I know, so I'm not going to let you off the hook with a simple one-liner. I think you deserve a detailed explanation. Hell, I think everybody deserves to know how tenuous the structure of reality is, but I didn't get to make the rules, and it is a very bad idea to violate laundry security policy, because security is staffed by things that you really don't want to get mad at you. In fact, you don't even want them to notice you exist. Anyway, I've suffered for my knowledge, and here's what I've learned. I could wibble on about Crowley and Dee and mystics down the ages, but basically, most self-styled magicians know shit. The fact of the matter is that most traditional magic doesn't work. In fact, it would all be irrelevant were it not for the Turing theorem, named after Alan Turing, who you'll have heard of if you know anything about computers. That kind of magic works, unfortunately. You haven't heard of the Turing theorem, at least not by name, unless you're one of us. Turing never published it. In fact, he died very suddenly, not long after revealing its existence to an old wartime friend who he should have known better than to have trusted. This was simultaneously